Today, I'm going to be your host, Ben Branham. Normally, this is Bob Main, but during the middle of the week episodes, he lets me kind of sit in and talk to you all. I really appreciate it. Love talking about guns, and I get the opportunity to do that here. My favorite guns are handguns. I like running those the most and working with them. So this show almost seems like a dream of mine to be on. So I really appreciate being able to talk to you guys. This is MSP 13 holstering. Lucky number 13, as they say. Got a couple things going on here at the Handgun World Podcast. The ShootersClubMembers.com site is up and going. If you're not a member, go check that out at ShootersClubMembers.com. What you get over there is content you won't find anywhere else. I'm doing a bunch of how-to videos. I just published one on doing malfunctions. I think you'll really like it. If you're a member over there, go check it out. If you're not a member, go check it out. This video might be worth your annual membership right there. I do malfunction drills better. Well, I shouldn't say better. I think they're the best. That's why I do them this way. But I do them different than everybody else does. And it's not just tap, rack, bang. And it's not the military way. It's something I picked up a long time ago. And you'll never see this unless you have had classes from some of my mentors or you go to one of my courses. Check it out. I think the malfunction drill rules because it works on any handgun and it works on my AR. So I don't have to learn something different, and there's skill sets that I already have. So that's just a quick plug for that. If you're not a member, go check it out. We're doing some giveaways just for members. There's a raffle going in February for 3 class seats. Point shooting with Roger Phillips here in San Antonio. It's in April. There's a seat being raffled for that class. There's a seat being raffled off for Bob is teaching. I forget the name of the course Bob is teaching. He's teaching close range gunfighting, and he's going to be giving away a course. And then him and I are teaching Beyond Concealed Carry next year. We're working on the calendar right now, but we're raffling off a seat to any of ours. If you win the raffle for the Beyond Concealed Carry course, you'll be able to take it anywhere we're teaching it and anytime next year. We actually have March filling up right now. We are locking in the schedule right now for Dallas and San Antonio. We will have a class on Beyond Concealed Carry this next year in Dallas during March and in San Antonio. So if you're ready to shoot once that weather breaks, consider going over to beyondconcealedcarry.com or go over to handgunworld.com and look at those courses down there and consider signing up for one coming up in March. Should be real fun. The weather should turn nice for us, and March is a great time to be on the range. This whole episode here is going to be about holstering guns. And it's a little kind of different because nobody really teaches this anymore. It's that lost art of going on. I don't know. When I first started, sorry, I had to take a phone call from my wife right there. She's the only one I stopped podcasting for to actually answer the phone. Holstering. It's a lost art. When I first started like 15 years ago, I guess going on 2 decades, something like that, out of classes, you were actually taught how to holster, and you were taught different methods, and it was almost as important as pulling your gun out. Now, it's almost like, well, we have all these cool tricks and techniques for being fast on the draw, and all these 3-5 count draws and all this stuff, but going back to the holster, it's just like, yeah, put the gun back. And you kind of wonder why that's a lost art. And I think it's an art because, one, it's a safety concern. A lot of people shoot themselves when they go back into the holster, and then two, I mean, wouldn't it be easier just to train yourself to go safely back into the holster, know what you're doing, and not have to think about it every time? So I thought I'd go over holstering a little bit with you. First of all, you got to have a decent holster. And I say get a good holster. Most of them are $50 and up on the retail side. I will buy holsters when I find them on closeout, but I generally don't buy anything that's less than $50 or $60. Kydex holsters, I love the Kydex holsters made by White Dog Holsters. Buddy of mine over there, Devin, he makes them. It's whitedogholsters.com. I carry one of those. I carry a Crossbreed Super Tuck when I'm carrying inside the waist, and that's crossbreed.com. And when I'm carrying outside open, I carry a Safariland ALS holster, and holsters.com is where you can find those. Carry a good holster, find the ones you like, and go for it. Those are the only 3-style holsters that I use. Really, the only 3 holsters I use, period. I have a couple different ones of each one that hold a light or don't hold a light. But other than that, that's it. I use those 3 holsters. So I kind of keep it the same. And that's because I think I'm too dumb to learn how to use too many holsters. And they get complicated these days. So find something you like and go for it. Not a big fan of the new Blackhawk holsters that you have to use your trigger finger to release the gun. I've seen a bunch of accidents with those, and I've seen a lot of the schools now, the firearms training schools, are just outlawing those on their range completely because they've had so many incidents with them. On the other side of that, they're super cheap. They're like $20, and the Marine Corps is now issuing them as their holster, which, oh, I don't know. I won't even go there. Anyways, so I would suggest you get a good holster and get one that doesn't use your trigger finger as the release for the gun. That's just asking for problems. You need to make sure the holster doesn't collapse on itself when you pull the gun out. A lot of these really cheap nylon holsters, as soon as you pull the gun out, it looks like a clamshell and it goes closed on itself and you can't get the gun back in there. And the last thing I'll say about a holster is it should be made for your individual gun. If there's a list of like 50 different guns that will fit in that holster, probably not a good holster. You want one that's made specifically for your gun. And you have to go through the rack and find that one. You know, I carry a Glock 19, so I have to go through the rack and go, nope, that one's for H&K, that one's for SIGs, that one's for Rugers, that one's for an XD. Oh, there's the one I want. The one that says Glock 19 on it. And it fits a Glock 17, a Glock 19, a Glock 22, or a Glock like 23 or something like that. But it only fits a small amount of weapons, and they're all that kind of same gun. Holstering is different for different guns. I holster my Glock 19 different than I holster my 1911. It's because of the safeties, because of the way the gun works, because of the way that the gun is designed. I'll holster an XD different than I holster my Glock. I'll holster a SIG or my Ruger different than I holster my 1911. It's because of the way the gun is designed and the way the safeties in the guns are designed that we're going to do that. There's a couple things that are the same for every time you holster, and I'm going to go through a couple of them. First of all, I'm just going to say it straight out. Get your stinking finger off the trigger. Should be the first thing you do. When you're done shooting, that finger comes off the trigger. You really need to make sure when you go into the holster that your finger's not in the trigger. No safety device in the world is going to help you if you shove that gun back in your holster with your finger on the trigger, because your finger will bump into the holster and that finger is sitting on the trigger and now will bump into the trigger and you'll have a negligent discharge. And yes, the correct term for those are negligent. It's not an accident. You did it on purpose. Well, not on purpose. I'm sorry. It was neglect that the gun actually went off. It wasn't because it was an accident. An accident was I stumbled or tripped or I bumped into somebody because I was looking the other way. That's an accident. If you shoot yourself, it was neglect. Next up, you need to do anything you're going to do to the gun while it's out before I go back to the holster. I need to have that gun ready to go in the holster before I even make my first motion to go back to the holster. And what I mean about that is if you're carrying a SIG 226, the hammer is back because you've been shooting. You're going to decock before you even start going to the holster. If you're going to carry your gun with the safety on, you're going to put that safety on before you start to go back to the holster. I've seen a lot of mistakes where people are trying to manipulate the gun as they're trying to put it in the holster. I'm trying to decock, or I'm trying to put it on safe, or I'm trying to change the magazine, or I don't know. People get all flustered and want to go fast, and they don't want to slow down, so they want to go, okay, boom, 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 I'm done shooting, back to the holster. Well, there's a couple things I want to do before I go back to the holster, especially if I'm doing self-defense. I want to search and assess, make sure there's no bad guys. Maybe I want the gun on safe. If I'm carrying a traditional single double action, I probably want to decock that thing before it goes back in the holster. Me, myself, I'm going to top off the gun. I'm going to put another magazine. If I got another magazine, I'm going to top off that gun before it goes back to the holster. That kind of stuff. So you want to have that gun before you even go to the holster. You want to be ready to put it in the holster. Don't try to do two things at once. Keep it super simple. On that, when you're going to put the gun in the holster, go ahead and look down at your holster. There's no shame in that. A lot of this stuff came from police work And if you're a police officer on duty, you may not want to look at the holster to holster. I mean, because you guys, as cops, you could have a bad guy at gunpoint, and then you have to cuff him up, so you have him turn around, face the wall, or get on the ground, or whatever you've been taught, or whatever your SOP is. You probably don't want to take your eyes off of the bad guy that you have at gunpoint to look at your holster. So you kind of really need to know how to do it by feel. For us in the real life, I'm not going to put my gun away until that threat's done. So if a bad guy, let's say, guy pulls a gun on me, I pull a gun on him, it looks like the Wild West, he sees my gun coming out of my holster, and he goes, ah, don't shoot me, and he puts his hands up. Well, now I have him at gunpoint like a cop. What am I going to do? I'm not going to try to arrest him or anything like that. So I can hold him at gunpoint until right before the cops get there and then holster my weapon. Or as a security guard or an armored car guard, my whole plan is, I still think my plan would be, if that happens and the guy goes, ah, don't shoot me, he puts his hands up, would be to prone him out on the ground. Get down on the ground, face down, don't look up or I'll shoot you, and then run away. I'll run around the corner. Then I can holster my weapon because he's no longer a threat. And as I'm leaving the area, call 911. This guy just tried to kill me. Help me. Please help me. Where is he? I don't know. He pulled a gun on me. I pulled my gun on him. And he said, no, don't shoot. And I left because he was still a threat and I was afraid he was going to shoot me. So I am on the run. I am going this way. Can you please have police officers meet me? Help me. I'm still kind of thinking that's my plan to get out of there. I know running away with a gun makes you kind of look bad to some of the observers, but as long as you're on the phone with 911 first, all that is recorded. And you, when you say, help me, help me, help me, he's trying to kill me, you become the victim and they want to help you. So kind of look at your holster. I shouldn't even say kind of. If there's no reason not to look at your holster, look at your holster. If you're on the range, there's no reason for you to train not to look at your holster. Look down. Especially if you're carrying concealed, you have all those garments that get in the way. Look down at your holster. You need to also move anything that might be in the way. You need to move your concealment garment or anything with your weak hand. So I got the gun up. Before I go back to the holster, I'll grab a fistful of my shirt or whatever and pull it up out of the way if it's my jacket. And I even expose some skin. I know that's kind of weird, and it feels weird when I do it, and you know, I know none of you guys want to see my gut sticking out, but I actually will pull stuff up and expose skin so there's nothing to get in the way when I put the gun back in the holster. And I do that with my weak hand, not with my gun hand, just my weak hand. Get everything out of the way, and so my gun hand only has one job, hold onto that gun and not shoot anybody at that time. Not shoot, especially me, when I'm trying to put it in the holster. Last, I got to say, I got to go one more safety thing. Don't point the gun at anything you don't intend to shoot. I've seen people do it. The easiest way to find that holster or open it up or to get that gun in there generally is to use the muzzle to find the holster and open it up. And people will get lazy and they get bad habits. And what they do is they will point towards themselves a little bit to get that gun to slip in there. And when you start working on it, it gets really easy. If I point the muzzle a little bit at my body, it becomes very easy to find that holster, especially if you're not looking, to find that holster and get it in there. Well, if I point the muzzle towards myself, what am I doing? I'm pointing a loaded gun at myself, at my hip or my leg or my side. Don't do that. Have somebody look and make sure you're not into those bad habits, because we pick up those things and we don't even know about it. Make sure that you're not in that bad habit. The most dangerous part, I think, when you're holstering is either you didn't get your finger off of the trigger or something gets caught in there and pulls the trigger. It happens. It has happened before and will happen again. So when you push down to lock your gun in place, because most of the time we'll get it in there, and a lot of, especially the Kydex stuff, you know, you push down a little bit and it goes click. If you have a nice leather holster, it fits kind of snug and you need to push it down in there to get it snug in there and all the way home. You really need to be looking and paying attention. I will see people kind of palm the gun and put it in their holster and then hold with their, especially the small guns, they'll hold their fingers on the bottom of the holster, their digits, and then they'll put their thumb on the gun and they'll squeeze it all together to get it to clamp in there. That works really cool, except for if you get something in there, like your shirt or something. So you really need to pay attention when you're pushing that last little inch and you feel that resistance and you push, that resistance may be the holster fit that you want to push through, or it may be something stuck in your shirt or stuck in your gun. Your shirt is in there, or your clothes or your jacket, and when you start pushing against it, it pushes against the trigger and makes your gun go off. So be very mindful of that when you holster your weapon. Pay attention. Look at your holster. Go slow. And if you have to pinch your gun together and grab it like that with your fingers on the bottom of the holster and your thumb on the gun to push it in there and make it fit, you may not have a good enough belt. Try different belt setups so you don't have to do that. So that holds the gun in the holster well enough so I can push down and make my gun clip into the holster like it's designed to, instead of having to use my fingers and everything. Just a bad habit that I've seen that can, and this is really, it's splitting hairs, that can be a bad habit that can get you hurt, but as long as you're aware of it and you super pay attention, you could overcome that. But I just think it's better if you just get a better belt, and that's what I do. If I get to the point where my gun, and I buy, in all honesty here, I buy a lot of cheap belts. I'm a $10 or $15, $20 belt guy, but I replace them all the time. When I first get the cool belt from Walmart, the $20 belt, it works fine to hold my gun. The problem is those things wear out, especially with a gun hanging there, the leather becomes very, very flimsy. And at that point, I replace them all the time. I have some very good gun belts, and I have some very cheap belts that I use, but I replace the cheap belts all the time, and the good gun belts last forever, and I think that's your big difference. If you're going to carry cheap belts and you want to do the belt of the month club or the belt of the week club, buy the cheaper belt and you can get away with it. If you want a belt and you are that person that wears clothes forever, you know, you have boots that are older than your kids, or you have a belt that you've had for two decades, go ahead and spend the money, buy yourself a really nice gun belt, and know that a really good gun belt really will last you forever. So I spend probably extra money by buying a belt every 6 months to a year for $20. If I just fork out the $100, I could have a belt that would last me forever. Anyways, buy yourself a good belt. That goes with a good holster. Make sure they're all in good working order. Your holster also, if you have a leather or Kydex holder, any style holster, it will wear out after a while. Gotta check them. Most of the companies, I mean, I have a Crossbreed. They warranty their stuff for like life. I actually, after a while, got a little split in the Kydex part of the Crossbreed. If you don't know what a Crossbreed is, it has a leather back and then a plastic that actually holds the gun around. So you get leather against your body and the plastic holds the gun. The plastic part, there was a little tear. I sent it back to Crossbreed. They sent me a brand new one. So you got to kind of inspect your gear and your equipment to make sure it's not worn out. Now, let me talk about a little bit about your gun. No, I don't know what kind of gun you actually have, but I'm going to go over some basics on different guns and some thoughts about that. If you have a striker-only fired gun, like a Glock, M&P series, all they do is have that striker. There's no safety. I'm sorry, there's no safety. There's internal safeties, and there's the trigger safety. I won't even go there on the trigger safety. Anyways, it's there, but there's no external safety. There's no external hammer. There's no decock. Nothing like that. When you go back to the holster, you need to be double mindful of what you're doing. If you're carrying a Glock or that M&P, double, triple mindful that there's no clothes in there. There's nothing to get in the way. When police officers first went from the revolver to the Glock, they also changed holsters at the time. Guys were pushing down on that Glock with their finger in there and having accidental discharges. And they were using those thumb brake floppy holsters where it didn't matter with the revolver, and we'll talk about holstering a revolver, because they would put their thumb over the hammer on the revolver and push it into the holster. So if the holster got caught in there, their thumb would catch the hammer before it fired, or they would feel it move that there's something on there and they could stop. When they went to the Glock, there's no external hammer now, and they would push down into their holster, and if something got caught in there, boom. The gun does exactly what it's designed to do, and the gun is designed, when you pull the trigger, to fire the weapon. It did its job. The officer failed to do his. So, keep that in mind if you're going to run one of those guns. And I carry a Glock 19, and it's not something you cannot overcome. It's just something that you need to be extra mindful of. You need to pay attention. You need to know your weapon system. if you're going to carry something with a grip safety in it. I'm thinking specifically Springfield XDs, but I know there's some other weird guns out there that have a grip safety on them and nothing else. That one's easy. Once you deactivate that grip safety, right, if you take your finger away from there, the gun's not supposed to fire. And I say not supposed to because we never count on just those manual safeties. We also want to be mindful that nothing's in that trigger when we holster the gun, including your finger or your shirt or part of the holster. But that one, all you got to do is when you got that firing grip on your hand wrapped around it, if I take my thumb and I put it on the back of the slide or the side of the slide, so I got all my fingers and my thumb on one side, that will deactivate the safety or activate it. It won't be pressed down anymore. So now that the gun should technically be safe and you could pull the trigger without anything happening. This is why I say use your gun to its full advantage. Whatever weapon system you're going to carry, know your system and use it. If you got an XD or something with that, start looking. Move your thumb around. How far do you have to move your thumb around the side of the gun before that safety engages again? That's where you should have your thumb to holster the weapon. Most of them, for me, I can put it right on top of the slide and it deactivates the, or right on the back of the slide, it'll deactivate the safety, I'm good. Some of you might have different size hands and might have to run that thumb all the way to the other side of the slide. Not a big deal because I'm not firing the gun. I don't have to control the recoil. I just have to hold the gun so it doesn't fall out, and I can do that with just my fingers. So do that, and then that gives you one extra thing. If somehow you forgot to take your finger off, or if you, that's not, I'm thinking if you train yourself this way, you probably won't forget to take your finger off. But what happens is your clothes actually accidentally get stuck in there, or something gets stuck in the gun, or the holster gets stuck, or you miss the holster and actually catch the trigger. It's happened before, so gives you one extra step. Take your thumb off, get it away from that grip safety so the safety's engaged and the gun won't fire. If you have an exposed hammer gun, no safety on it, I'm thinking like a SIG 220, 226. Lots of guns have the exposed hammer. If you have an exposed hammer gun, period, the correct way to holster it would be to put your thumb on top of the hammer. This way, same thing kind of with that XD, but there's no safety, but your thumb, if you shove it into your holster and something gets caught, I have that extra thumb that can hold that hammer from falling and keep me from accidentally shooting myself. So kind of look at your gun. If it has an extra internal safety, I think, and I'm suggesting everybody try this, that the correct way to holster your gun would be to put that thumb over that hammer to hold it in case that thing fires, and that gives you that extra safety. 1911s, you have the exposed hammer, it's cocked, and you have a grip safety, and you have a manual safety. I do this all the time with mine, and this is how I always holster my weapon. When I'm done shooting, I'm ready to go holster. Flip that manual safety on. I pull my thumb up higher, and I would put my thumb on the back of the slide between the slide and the hammer. So if the hammer fell, my thumb was between it to keep it from hitting the firing pin and firing around. That also, for me, moved my hand enough to engage that grip safety so I had something else. And I always kept my finger off the trigger. So I had a bunch of things, and that's why I kind of think a 1911 is one of the safest weapons to holster, because I got like five things in the way to keep that gun from firing. My thumb is in there, it can't fire. All the safeties are engaged, it can't fire that way. It really, if you have a single action weapon and you're going to carry it cocked and locked, HKs can do that. Your CZs, if you guys got one of those, will carry. You can carry it cocked and locked. That hammer back, safety on, that's what the cocked and locked means. If you're going to carry it hammer back without a safety on, make sure your weapon is designed to do that. I just heard a discussion on one of the other podcasts about carrying a SIG because they forgot to decock it when you went to the holster and now you have your safety back. I'd say make sure you carry your weapon in the condition it's designed to be carried in. I don't think SIGs are designed to be carried with the normal SIGs. Let me put it that way. SIG makes some single action weapons. Your double action autos, 90% of them are not designed to be carried with that hammer cocked. They're designed to be hammer forward. Carry your gun the way it's designed to be carried to keep yourself from getting in trouble. Anyways, that was off topic. So if you got something you're going to carry hammer back and cocked, when you go to holster, put your thumb in between the slide and that hammer. So if it does fire, that hammer falls on your thumb and not the firing pin, and you keep the gun from firing. Guns with manual safeties. Beretta 92SF. The M9 that the Marine Corps and the Army uses, Beretta 92. Yeah, same gun. Some of the SIGs have manual safeties, not very many of them. I'm thinking Rugers, the P89s. Those that have a manual safety and the hammer, I'm going to be very, very... Because you want to decock the weapon first before you go back to the holster. So when you decock it, it's on safe. I think if you have a gun with a safety on it, you should carry it with the safety on, because sooner or later, Murphy's going to get in his way and you're going to draw that weapon. Even though you always have the safety off, sooner or later, Murphy will catch you and that safety will be on when you need that gun. And for me, it's just something... It's training. I'm either going to train to make sure the safety comes off when it comes out of the holster all the time and I will carry a safety on, or I'm going to buy a gun like, a Glock that I carry that does not have a manual safety, and I will go about it that way. Either way, when you're holstering, even if you're going to carry your gun safety off, you have an old Smith & Wesson, I don't know, Smith & Wesson made a dozen different guns that had a slide mounted safety, function just like your Ruger P-Series or your Beretta 92s, where the slide mounted safety, you push the safety on, and it's also a decocking lever, and it's the safety. If you're going to do that, your best bet is to put the weapon on safe. That will decock it. Put your thumb over that hammer, just like an exposed hammer, any other gun. Holster the weapon that way on safe. Once the weapon is holstered, you could reach in there and pop that safety off. If that's the way you just choose to carry, consider doing that, holstering the gun with the safety on, just to give you that extra level of safety. Listen to me, I can't talk all of a sudden this afternoon. I'm so sorry about that. Just to give you that extra level of safety. It's a training issue. If you're going to train yourself, you might as well do it right. You might as well train yourself to holster correctly. You might as well train yourself to holster the safest way possible. And since you're training yourself, it's not hard to train yourself to put the safety on, put your thumb over the hammer before you even go to the holster. So I would do all this at all the way out presented, like I'm actually shooting the gun. It's in my line of sight, like I got my eyes on the target and on my sights. Decock safety, thumb over the hammer, and then go for the holster. Look, pull my shirt out of the way, put that thing in the holster. Once you get in the holster, if you want to carry it off safe, once it's in the holster safely, all secure, flip that safety off. Same thing goes with the new Ruger SR9s. If you guys got one of those great little guns, Smith & Wesson Shield, Smith & Wesson Bodyguard, I'm trying to think of what else is there. They have their striker-fired gun with a manual safety on it. A lot of the Tauruses are this way, I'm sorry. The Taurus Slim Series, the 24/7 Series. There's no reason in the world why, especially with the striker-fired guns, there's no hammer to help you. Flip that thing on safe. I know it's a little bugger. There are little tiny safeties on some of those little guns. Flip it on safe, holster it, flip the safety off. It gives you that extra little help. Like I said, on the other kind of guns. If you're going to train yourself, you might as well train yourself to do it the safest way. This is just an outline of what you can do. Look at your gun, look at your holster, look at your weapon system. That's why it's called a system. Your gun, your holster, your clothes, everything is a system. It all works together. Look at how you do that and pay attention when you're holstering. Look for those little things of what happens. I like to wear two shirts when I go to the range, and I'll just untuck a shirt when I shoot IDPA and when I carry concealed sometimes, and both of those shirts will fall over my gun. Coming out of the holster, not a big deal because I grab a fistful of shirt with both hands and pull up. It's going back to the holster after I've been shooting and moving around. Now I don't have one shirt, but I have two shirts over my holster, and I've seen myself do it a couple times, is I will grab a fistful of my shirt and pull it up out of the way and go to holster. Because I'm looking at my holster, I see the problem. I only have one shirt that I pulled out of the way. The other shirt is still over the holster, and that's where you can come into problems. So when you practice this, practice slow like everything else. Holstering should be a slow event anyways. It's never a race. There's no reason for you to race unless you're a police officer to get that thing in the holster and get that your whatever your thumb brake or whatever the retention device is on your holster. Get that in there so you can fight with a bad guy. But anybody else, if your gun's out, you're fighting with your gun, and you should only put the gun away once all the threat is gone. Same thing with competition. We're never holstered under time. I don't know of one competition that you actually have to holster the gun under a time limit. So look at the holster, holster the gun, be careful, watch that stuff, be mindful of those shirts and extra stuff that can happen, and as you see them, you'll know what I'm talking about. Just be mindful of what happens. Like my second shirt generally will cover my holster, especially when I'm carrying an inside the waistband holster, and I have to be mindful that I get both shirts out of the way. Well, that is about all I have to say about that. It went a lot longer than I thought it would. But I hope you guys learned something. Hey, your gun is only a tool. Your mind's that weapon. Train it well. Practice this stuff and stay safe.